Hello, and welcome to episode 28 of the Lincoln Cast, Giant Bomb's community Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of November the 10th. I am your host, Durin, and with me today is Self-Confessed Cynic.
Hello, my name is Self-Confessed Cynic.
Is that mocking?
Yes. It was fine.
Did I have the cadence of a robot?
Yeah, a little bit.
Also, Noobarama.
Oh shit! Hi.
God damn it, dude. God damn it! We've only been planning this thing for like half an hour now.
Yeah, it's like we've been sitting here for
20 minutes of that.
Well, we've been online since
every time you're addressed, it's like we're waking you up.
Like, man, I just have my hand around my penis and I am falling asleep.
Ah, that's how he normally goes to sleep. If you didn't know that, I guess you do now. I mean, he's like 12 years old.
Oh, God. So. It was all I could do to just put my hand in front of my face and not laugh during that intro. No. I'm not talking about what you said, like the hello right at the beginning. I just had to just try and control myself.
It was high energy.
Laugh.
It was good energy, at least.
Also, Vigigames.
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 What's a Vigigame?
You don't want to know.
It's when two Digimon love each other and...
Is it the Digimon porn? I love Digimon porn.
That actually does not surprise me in the slightest.
Oh, God. We've talked about Digimon porn far more today than we've ever talked about it before.
That's just because you brought it up. Like,
that's because I've never talked about it before.
Yeah, no, really. The words Digimon porn could be uttered, and it's already more than I've talked about Digimon porn.
Oh, there you go. How many times have we said Digimon porn in the last minute? That's probably a record somewhere, right?
You with your lap counters at home. Keep track.
Too many. We're now on a list.
Yeah. What kind of list, though, would be?
Thanks for that, noob.
This intro failed the vetting. Okay, continue.
Oh, noob, I'm fairly certain we failed that vetting a long, long time ago. I'm guessing it was probably, 3 minutes into pick an episode.
I don't know, last week's wasn't bad, except for maybe the intro.
What was last week's?
I don't remember what was bad about the intro.
Last week?
That wasn't a bad thing.
What was it? Oh, Rock Me Like a Hurricane?
Oh! That was fun.
Anybody who was offended by that.
No one said anything, so whatever.
Yeah, nobody said anything. We've done much, much
I don't
worse.
Know whether to be happy that it no one said anything or slightly disappointed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Troll.
Yeah. Hey, how is that going? Is your house still fucked?
Yeah.
My parents got power back a couple days after we recorded last week.
Oh, cool.
And I guess everything's okay.
How bad was that winter storm that actually hit, like, I guess it was New York? Shortly after,
We got a good amount of snow up here at school. Maybe I don't know, half a foot or so. But the next day was pretty warm, so it mostly melted away within a day or so. Oh,
okay. Like the local news was making it sound like fucking terrible.
Like it was coming down really hard for a few hours, but I don't really know of anyone that was screwed over. I know a few people that lost power again, but
yeah, that
was like short lived. At least from people that I know.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was just local news trying to kind of extend that Hurricane Sandy news just as far as they possibly could, because just fucking we're in Kansas City and nothing happens here.
Except for Google Fiber.
Except for Google Fiber.
And like that's tornadoes, right?
For Google Fiber, now that you've moved.
Sharknadoes?
Tornadoes, yes.
I mean, I've seen the movie. Come on. It was all up in that movie.
That's mostly over on the Kansas side. They get a lot more stuff than we do because it's a lot more flat over there. We get them occasionally over here, and we did have a really bad one back when I was in high school. They hit like a pretty big neighborhood and actually took a couple of my friends' houses out along the way. But
fuck, I've forgotten the name of the main character of that movie.
Which one? Twister?
No.
The Wizard of Oz?
Twister, but yes, the Wizard of Oz. Like, I don't remember any of those main character names. Dorothy! That's it. There you go.
I thought it was Toto.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's
Toto's the real main character.
Yeah, it's like R2-D2. If you look at the Star Wars movies, R2-D2 saves the day like fucking 12 times a movie and doesn't get any fucking credit for it. It's crazy.
As if we weren't big enough nerds by being on a video game.
And then Jar Jar saves the day once, and then everybody just fucking praises
him. I know, right?
Him. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Jar Jar is the best character out of Star Wars.
Shut up.
You shut your mouth.
Oh, no, dude, that is not what I was saying at all.
He's the thing that revitalized the Star Wars franchise when it was boring and dead, which was all of it.
I think the thing that revitalized the Star Wars franchise was Lucas selling it.
Yeah, there you go.
Disney. About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Oh, in unrelated/related news, I found out only yesterday, or I realized slash heard only yesterday that the first, so 4, 5, and 6 was directed by Lucas.
He thought Steven Spielberg or some shit directed
episode. No, I thought someone directed
You're thinking of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got them mixed. Okay, okay. So my entire life, I thought that the first three Star Wars movies were actually directed by a real director, and that's why the second set of three suck balls. And now the entire illusion has been shattered. Apparently, one man was awesome and then terrible.
George Lucas died at the end of episode 6, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's why the Ewoks came in, and then they replaced him with a fake George Lucas.
Did Lucas actually direct 5 and 6?
Yeah. He directed all. It was his.
That's crazy, right?
Oh, I thought it was someone else. Are you telling me George Lucas is responsible for The Empire Strikes Back? Because I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. Wait, I'm going to make sure right now.
Episode 1, 2, and 3.
Those movies are bad.
except like Jar Jar Binks, I guess, saved those movies.
God damn it.
No, John Williams saved those movies. Actually, yes, he did. He came the closest to saving those movies.
Yeah, the R2-D2 exactly. scene at the start of 3. That was awesome.
No, there was no Jar Jar Binks.
When R2-D2 solos like two battle droids, that was fucking cool.
You know what? Those movies had to exist because I don't care what anyone says. The fucking fight scene with Yoda was badass.
Yeah.
No, it was not.
Oh, no, it was.
Both the 1 in 2 and the 1 in 3. Both were awesome.
I don't want to see CGI Yoda flipping around.
Well, and throwing like
giant wasn't that bad
of
CGI back
really
then.
Really all they can do with Yoda.
Yeah. No.
I went back and watched the older movies not too long ago, or at least one of them.
Check it out.
And I much prefer CGI Yoda over dumbass fucking Muppet Yoda.
Oh, I love dumbass fucking Muppet Yoda.
he looked terrible, and like the character was such a fucking joke.
According to Wiki, Empire Strikes Back was directed by Irvin Kershner.
Ah, I didn't think Lucas directed
There's no way
he could have directed that movie.
I'm investigating the others because this makes far more sense to me. My world has been slightly restored. You guys continue on. I'm going to look for the next one. I fucking can't find it. So.
It's like I knew there was no way Lucas was.
Okay, he was the writer and executive producer.
That's not the same, man.
No, the writer, I'm pretty sure, is pretty important.
Well, yeah, he wrote all of them.
Moving forward, because he clearly gave birth to and yet destroyed Star Wars. But moving forward, who do you think they're going to get to direct?
Michael Bay.
Fucking anybody.
Oh God,
anybody. I would watch that movie just for the stupidity of it all.
Yeah.
No, I was actually thinking about that, that day when the news hit.
Christopher Nolan? I don't know.
And, it would never happen. I think I might have told Cynic this. It would never happen because he's clearly tied up in the Star Trek stuff. But fucking J.J. Abrams.
Mm.
You look at that new Star Trek movie, and, the thing feels like a Star Wars movie.
I guess. What? I don't know. A lot of people are saying Joss Whedon, but he's tied up in The Avengers 2, just coming out at the same time.
Oh, God.
Return of the Jedi?
Guess who's not? Oh, actually, no, you're right. Makes... Michael Bay's tied up with Teenage Alien Ninja Turtles.
Return of the Jedi is directed by Richard Marquand, apparently. So, yeah, there we go. So, no,
that's what
Lucas
I thought.
Did not fucking make the last two.
Yes, but he wrote it.
Spielberg
he
movies.
Wrote it.
So, hey.
Indiana Jones or Spielberg movies.
Yeah, those are good. Except for the
Saving Private Ryan's a Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan is a fantastic Spielberg movie.
It is fantastic. It's just a fantastic movie.
Wait, why do you keep bringing up Saving Private Ryan?
Movie I like.
Huh?
What relevance does that have? It got nothing to do with
the only Spielberg movie he knows.
Yeah.
So he brings it up.
He brings it up into every conversation you have with him about movies ever.
Brilliant movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Vin Diesel is a dumbass in that movie.
Yes, he is.
I forgot that he was in it.
I'm gonna rescue the baby.
And then he gets shot.
I'm gonna stand out here in the middle of the courtyard when there's probably a sniper and just get sniped and die.
There was clearly a sniper. They knew there was a sniper that was being shot at, but he did it anyways.
Right.
Because he's Vin Diesel. He should have drifted around the buildings. He would have been fine.
He's also a D&D player.
He is.
I would like to see Shane Black do a Star Wars movie. I'd also like to see
him. Was Vin Diesel really involved in that Chronicles of Riddick game?
Oh, absolutely, yes, he was.
Was he really?
Yes, he was very involved in the Chronicles of Riddick game.
Is it Escape from Butcher Bay? Is that the one?
Yes.
That was good, apparently.
Butcher Bay, yeah. I don't know about Dark Athena. I don't know what his involvement was with that. But yeah, Butcher Bay, he was very involved in that.
Huh.
Never touched him.
Good on him, then.
Yeah, he's big on, you know, obviously, you know, everyone knows he's a D&D player, but he's a big video game dude, too.
Apparently,
so, like, when he got the chance to make his own, like, he was there, like, every step of the way to make sure that thing wasn't a piece of shit. Mm. I mean, hell, that was his studio.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that was, yeah, the company that made that, that was his studio.
Hmm. I'm learning all these things just now.
About Vin Diesel.
Like that's the thing. That's the
problem. Well, I knew other actors like, were just stuff. Like Robin Williams apparently snipes in Battlefield like all the time.
Oh that's yeah, cool. Robin Williams is big in the games. He's huge in the games. But no, like Vin Diesel. That's my kind of my problem with him. Is like I fucking hate Vin Diesel in every movie he's ever in, aside from maybe Pitch Black. But at the same time, I can't completely hate the guy because he made a really kick-ass game.
I actually liked The Pacifier. It was really dumb, but awesome at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good.
Is that the one where he's like a special agent? Like,
yeah, oh God. A babysitter.
I don't know why, but as soon as you said that, my mind went straight to Tooth Fairy starring The Rock.
Well, see, that's the thing. The Pacifier was good because it came out right before all of those fucking movies that all of those big tough guys were suddenly being put in these, like, comedies.
What was that Jackie Chan one?
So, like, it was good because it was the first one, and then everybody else,
I don't mean The Rock. I mean The Rock Prime.
Yeah, man.
The Other Rock Prime. You remember from the WWE Quick Look?
Oh, no.
You guys are
playing. I actually didn't even watch that one.
And then from TNT, you guys are playing.
No, I know what you're talking about. I've just lost the thread of your conversation.
Time Rock?
Time Rock was awesome.
Time Rock 2, Requiem?
I think Ghost Problems 2 was not as good. Oh, sorry. Ghost Problems More was not as good as Ghost Problems.
But Ghost Problems More is a fantastic name.
It's a fantastic name.
That's the eternal problem, though. I mean, that's the eternal problem. You make a sequel, and it's never the original. It's
never as good as the original.
Except for Empire Strikes Back.
Even in WWE 13.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for The Empire Strikes Back.
Man.
That's a better sequel.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Looping it back around to
go back and watch those.
The Two Towers.
Okay. The End All. No. Two Towers is the weakest of those three films.
Fuck off. It's that.
No, Return of the King is by far the best.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll give you that.
My favorite.
Two Towers is better than one.
Fellowship gets a bad rap. Fellowship is a fantastic movie.
Fellowship is pretty good.
It's not as good as the Two Towers. Two Towers is
Yeah, Fellowship is the best movie. Is like one is better than the Two Towers by default because it has more Hugo Weaving.
Well, Fellowship is also really good because it's an incredibly good introduction movie to a trilogy because they managed to do a really good job of introducing all of the characters and connecting you with the characters, but still having a lot going on.
The Fellowship was so good, it allowed the second two movies to happen.
Yep.
Like,
well, yeah.
I don't know because they filmed them all at once.
No, but they would have been out there, but they wouldn't have been as fucking huge as they were if the Fellowship wasn't as good as it was.
Yeah, Fellowship obviously made that trilogy of movies what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except I'm going to say, though, that the extended edition of Return of the King is probably in my top three movies of all time.
I own all those. And the extended I've watched was the first one because, goddamn, those movies are long.
Return of the King is probably my favorite of three, but.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Two Towers, I think, is better than the first one, still.
I disagree.
Yeah, definitely.
I disagree.
It had the Minds of Moria in it. It was great. That movie was great.
Minds of Moria was in the first one.
Wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah, it ends with the Balrog. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
It ends with Sean Bean getting pieced.
Oh, that was one of the best death scenes in a movie. I loved that scene.
But, like, what movie, in what television movie where Sean Bean is good, doesn't he die?
Even though Sean Bean always dies.
But Sean Bean always dies.
He has to die for it to be a good film.
Yeah, pretty much. Have you guys seen... Right,
anyway, hold on. Wrapping up the Lucas discussion, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what Disney does with ILM. That's the most interesting thing of this whole purchase.
Wait, so ILM, do they actually... They only do special effects, though. They don't actually make cool movies, do they?
The thing is, imagine like Disney with a crazy effects studio when they already have like Pixar and stuff. They could probably do potentially nuts things.
What does Disney do that requires an effects studio?
I don't even know, but I'm curious to
you
find out.
It could happen now.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to say, now is
the time.
What they do is what's going to come from this.
If you guys have seen Sky High, Sky High was a good movie. Like that kid's superhero movie.
One?
Sky High.
None of those movies are good.
It's not bad. So I can see more of that if ILM does what Disney wants it to do.
Because I read up on it. I'm surprised how much ILM is still doing.
Yeah, they did a lot of work but they did for other studios, like entirely.
Yeah, it's mostly, from what I can tell, like contract work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they're good at it. They're
contract work.
I prefer Weta's work. God damn it.
And unethical.
Okay, so we've got like 15 minutes and haven't even actually gotten into the podcast yet. So
Hi, I'm your host, Nubarama, and you're listening to the LincolnCast episode.
Yeah, totally.
28
for the week 28. Of October, November 10th, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nailed
it. Yep.
All right, so now I'm your host, Self-Professed Cynic.
All right, Cynic, what have you been doing this week?
Oh, God damn it. I didn't even know what's happening anymore. It's so easy to lose the track of this entire podcast.
Noob, stand down. Stand down, noob.
I refuse.
I've been recording another podcast, actually. That happened.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Trader, oh, we're not okay. Moving on.
Come on now.
That was good. Yeah, we're totally allowed to plug our own show. Come on.
Damn it. You didn't invite me, you jerk. You just did it on your own.
Yeah, we'll plug it where plugs belong. But that was what I did this week. Aside from that, I've a little bit of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which is good. And I'm about to read Destroyer Men. Have you guys heard of that series of books?
Or book talk. I love it. Let's go.
Wow. Have you guys heard of Destroyer Men? Destroyer Men is about a World War II class. Sorry, built in World War I, in World War II, class destroyer that gets sucked through a time warp.
This sounds really dumb.
Into like this crazy land where it was like medieval, like swords and sorcery shit. That's what I understand. And there are suddenly like
sorcery,
like equivalent shit.
Sorcery.
Equivalent shit, and they're like the superpower. They're like a floating superpower because they've been teleported to the past. That's what it's about.
That sounds really dumb.
Are they back in time or in like an alternate reality?
I think it's an alternate reality. I haven't read it yet. Okay. But I've heard it's actually a really good series of
magic, then it's definitely an alternate reality.
Yeah.
Cynic, so I thought that maybe I would get back into reading if I kind of followed your recommendations.
Which one did you read?
I didn't, and I'm kind of glad.
No,
because if this is the caliber of a book that you are reading,
This is big dumb stuff, okay, but also came in highly recommended.
No, Jurek, wait like, for my recommendations, because like, I read way better books than Cynic.
He reads historical shit. No.
You read boring-ass historical
when
shit.
Whenever I recommend stuff like Monster Hunter International, you should actually read that. It's actually legitimate. You heard the first part of that. Monster Hunter International. The one I gave
is
you.
Any relation to like the Monster Hunter games?
No, absolutely none.
Okay, good, because I thought that would just be really weird.
Yeah, really weird.
I was kind of confused.
No, it's just like these books that you describe sound like terrible daytime sci-fi original.
But apparently, this is well written. People really like Destroyer Men for some reason, so I'm going to give it a try. So anyway,
all right. I guess
that's not how that goes.
You know what? People also elected Adolf Hitler into power.
All right.
Too soon? Wait, I guess it's not too soon.
Yeah, moving on.
Just playing the fact.
Wait, did you just make an American politics joke?
What?
You better not have. Let's not bring politics into this.
I said Adolf Hitler.
Okay, good. I thought you were comparing the recent presidential electorate to Adolf Hitler.
No, I would never do that on this podcast. Don't
really?
Be
because that sounds like exactly what you're doing.
I refuse to bring that shit on here.
Good.
Let's I also lost $20, so I refuse to talk about it.
it's Canadian dollars, so it's not really worth anything.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It's like 10 cents.
No, Canadian dollars, I think they're still worth more than the US. I don't know.
Same with Australian for some reason.
But are they really?
Well, that's only because the US dollar is worth nothing. So it's not worth the deal for that.
And we still have Zimbabwe beat.
You can actually buy, was it Zimbabwe? One of those countries, you can buy like $1 trillion
yeah, you
notes.
Can buy Zimbabwe.
No, like some country, their currency was so super inflated.
Yeah,
you could buy like a $1 trillion note for like $5 and they'll ship it to you.
Yep, that would be Zimbabwe.
I kind of want to do that.
So anyway, all right, moving along. Shinboy, what have you been playing?
Okami HD.
I'm so interested in that game.
Okay, so I never finished Okami. I still have my original PlayStation 2 copy that I bought back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Should I spend the $20 and just buy the HD version?
Okay,
and play that?
Let me tell you this. I never finished Okami. I still have my original PlayStation 2 copy and memory card with the save on it, and I spent the $20 on Okami HD. So, you should do that.
But why? Why did you spend the $20 on Okami HD?
Because if you actually go back and look at Okami on the PS2, the frame rate sucked, and it was blurry as all hell.
Okay.
And this is pretty much...
That's kind of what I'm worried about, yeah.
If I don't know, for me, like at night at least, this is kind of a weird comparison, but I have really bad vision at night. So like I can kind of read things. Hold on, you'll see where I'm going with this.
You can't see when it's dark?
I like the opposite of a werewolf where you just suck when the moon comes out.
No. When there's a contrast of big contrast of light and dark, my eyes just get all kinds of fucked up, which is why I can't watch like a movie with the lights off.
That's weird.
Anyway,
My sight is similar to that. It's not nearly as bad, but like for me, it makes it difficult to drive at night because I have a hard time seeing the road from the headlights coming off the cars in front of me.
You guys should have done the.
I have a hard time seeing the lines on the road.
So basically, that where like I can kind of read things, but not maybe the details. And then I put on my glasses, and it's like crystal clear. It's roughly the same thing with this because you like if you go back and look at the PS2 version, you can tell what certain things are. But as soon as you go to the HD version, everything's crystal clear.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
So that makes it worth the $20 alone?
That and the frame rate.
That's kind of why I bought...
Is it just solid 60?
No.
It doesn't seem like it's a solid 60, but it's 60 for a lot of the time.
Really? Did it actually get it up to 60? That's crazy.
It's a PS2 game.
No, but like I thought it actually had a PS2 emulator in there. I have no idea how that would work.
I don't know how it works, but it's fairly solid. I mean, I've seen it dip in a few places, but never to the point where it chugged.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, if it dips from like 60 to like 40 or something, or even 30, like that's not a big deal.
But it was only that for like a split second, and then it would be fine. And it was only mostly when you're going like into a town and everything's popping in. The only thing they didn't fix was Okami had a real big issue on the PS2 with a really short draw distance for detail, and that's still there.
I noticed that in the
quick game. I would imagine that would be, unless they did a full conversion, it would have to be that way.
Yeah but the game still plays great, as I guess you would expect.
I saw the way it does what's his face text and dialogue, I was just I was out. I have Okami PS2 under my desk, and it was on my two playlist for this year. It moved off my two.
Did you throw it out your window?
Okay, you know how how we talked all those weeks ago about how you're really stupid if you don't buy a game or don't play a game just because it's on Origin. That's the same exact thing.
What do you mean?
This game is worth playing even if you don't like that.
If I don't like the way it does text and dialogue in a text and dialogue based game, fuck off. What? What?
The game is that good.
What are you
the
talking
game
about?
Is that good. The game
the
is that good.
So is everything else I haven't played. What?
Also, like, I think what he's getting at is like once you get past the intro part of the game, you start getting into like the actual like dungeon crawling part of it, the Zelda part of it, there's likely a lot less of
I
the
haven't
dialogue
finished Darksiders 2 yet. I'd rather play that.
I haven't finished Darksiders 2 yet either, and I'm playing Okami HD.
You know, I'm becoming more and more glad that I didn't buy that game.
Dude, I don't know. Like, I think
the only reason I didn't finish it is because Guild Wars came out.
Yeah, like from what I played of it, it looks like it has a bad rap. It seemed really good for the first.
Okay,
because
I've been hearing
2 hours, 2.5 hours.
I've been hearing like
don't
bad
listen to Patrick
Kluckert things. No. I don't.
Jeff liked it, so whatever.
I've learned that Patrick and I are like on complete opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to
pretty much every game he's ever talked about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
What's another example? I'm curious.
I like that guy, but fuck off.
Well, I haven't played it yet, but Sword and Sorcery, I could not give less of a shit about.
I played it, and I was not into it.
Johann Sebastian Joust, I think, is a stupid fucking idea for a game. It's not even a game.
I play with longswords for my pastime. I'd rather do that. So.
Yeah, so I mean, like it's even if I haven't played the game, like just our general interest in games
about,
could
like,
not be
Tokyo
on the
Jungle.
Opposite. Okay, that's an exception.
So Tokyo Jungle and Dishonored are games we agree on.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Pretty much any scary game he's ever talked about, I couldn't give less of a shit about. And yeah, so.
I like the scary games, but for different reasons necessarily than he does. So
I actually like Patrick Klepek though. Some people don't like him. I don't know.
I like Patrick too. Yeah, I just don't agree with his view on the game.
Yeah, I don't go too far into the Patrick Klepek stuff, but like he's grown on me over time. I fucking hated him when he first came on. I felt like he did not meld with the group and he did not meld with the community. I'm still not a big fan of they brought him on as the news guy, and instead of being the news guy, he has decided to turn it into
the indie gaming hour.
Bomb indie.
Yeah, but I love Speaking with Scoop. Speaking with Scoop, have you watched any of that?
Especially because I'm reading like actual interesting proper news articles on other sites that he is completely passing up just so that he can have this quote unquote scoop on some indie game that most people aren't going to give a fuck about.
Well, I know we talked about what other sites are doing on the recent Scotchcast, and what they're doing in Giant Bomb to that any day of the fucking week. So.
I don't have a problem with Polygon. I just have a problem with how their site's designed. It's ugly. I think it's ugly as shit.
Anyway.
Anyway,
you should play Okami HD regardless of what you think of the quote unquote dialogue system.
So, dude, did you read any books?
That's important to me.
I didn't read it this week.
No, I didn't. But going back to what I was saying, you should play Okami HD.
No, dialogue is really important to me in a video game. And like, for
example, talking about this before on Mumble, and I still say that Okami and Darksiders, the original Darksiders, are the two best Zelda games since Wind Waker.
I would probably agree with that, even though I haven't played Okami. So, because I just didn't really, I never got into the actual Nintendo Zelda games because of many of the same issues I have with Okami. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Mm.
I mean, it's kind of annoying, but especially for the first maybe 45 minutes to an hour. But I don't know.
Do you remember the start of freaking Darksiders 1? It just kind of fucking throws you in there, and shit's awesome from the start. It was great. It's a great game.
I know, but they're so different in both tone and style.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for maybe the general structure of the story.
Yeah.
But I just like Okami because it's Zelda, but sort of simplified.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that like you're, instead of collecting like heart pieces or whatever to get more health and like all those kinds of things, you just have one sort of centralized, I guess I'll call it a karma system, where you do things for people and you get these points and you can spend those points either for more health or more energy or whatever.
All right,
and also all of like, you know, in Zelda, you go into a temple, you get an item or like an ability, and then you spend that whole temple
using that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then once you get enough, you need to be constantly switching between them. It's like, oh, I need this here and I need that there.
Yeah.
In Okami, it's all just centered around the brush. So it's one button to bring up all of your powers at once. Then you just draw whatever you need to use.
The drawing part looks like absolute.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you playing with the move or are you just playing
with the playing with the controller, and it's pretty forgiving because there's one part where you need to finish off like a wheel.
Right.
And I drew what looked like a fishing rod, and it still accepted it. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, like what little time I spent with the game back when it came out, the drawing was never an issue. Like I felt like it was very forgiving. Like very rarely did it not recognize what I was trying to draw.
Even in combat, it's not too bad because you bring it up and it pauses it. So it's not like you need to like rush and get a precise slice or whatever.
Right.
You can take your time and make sure you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Nah, so you should play that game.
No.
It's only $20, whatever.
That's $20 I could spend on other things, whatever. Like, I'd rather...
Like what? Like shitty sci-fi books?
Oh, man, yeah.
Like commissioning awesome a Digimon porn poster?
All right, did you play anything else other than Okami?
Not really. Curiosity. Does that really count?
Okay, so I played a little... Okay, no, well, hang on. Let's... Is that really considered playing? I mean, is that really even a game?
It's just wasting time. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, that's really what all games are. But this one...
You're experiencing a Peter Molyneux product. That's the best way to describe it.
It is like the Who's line of games. Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
That is the best description of Curiosity I've heard yet.
That makes me want to watch Who's Line. Anyway, that was such a good TV show.
So there's a website you can go to that has every episode of
Who's Line. I hate Drew Carey so much.
Ever.
You can go to my hard drive and get every single episode of Who's Line ever.
Both UK and America version.
I only like the American version for some reason. Do you not like the UK
version better?
I love the people on the American version, but I cannot stand Drew Carey.
Oh, Drew Carey's amazing.
It's because he reminds you of yourself.
What?
Like just one to one. He's pretty much, Nubarama if Nubarama was white.
I am
cool.
A delicious flat chest. He is not. That's the difference.
I've seen you. You do not have a delicious flat chest.
He used to not be. Then he lost a lot of weight.
Did he? Yeah. All right.
Did he? Yeah, really?
He lost a lot of weight.
Have you seen him on The Price is Right? Come on.
No.
He lost a lot of weight.
Cool. Good for him, I guess.
All right. So moving on. Noob, dare I ask what you've played this week?
I have been reading a book.
Awesome.
Moving on.
Yep. So the book is called Afghansi, The Russians in Afghanistan, 1979 to 1978.
Yeah.
By Roger Bradford, who is the... Huh?
See? Do you have friends?
You guys are my friends, right?
Do you have friends?
we're friends.
My dad reads a lot of those kinds of books, too. Like, I don't think he's read a book in...
What else was I going to say? Oh, fuck. I'm trying to remember because it was something actually...
Every time I turn around.
Oh, okay. You know, so this book called Your Next Door Neighbor is a Dragon. I bought it a long time ago and I've already read it, but I've rereading it. And basically, you guys know Something Awful, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's Zach Parsons from Something Awful. And basically, it's like a semi-fictional, semi-real book, factual book.
So it's fictional. And, so it's fictional. That can't be semi-fictional.
Like, there's obviously clear parts where he actually went and interviewed people.
Okay.
And he just goes around finding these weird internet subcultures and just like deconstructing them for what they are. And it's actually a really hilarious and
that actually sounds kind of
interesting. That is the most interesting book you've described on this show yet.
Yep.
Is it really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just.
It talks about like furries and stuff. It's really hot. It's really interesting. What else have I been playing? I've been playing Hearts of Iron 3.
You have. I can confirm this. It popped up on Steam a few times.
And Arma 2, Operation Arrowhead, and
Universalis. There was one really
good game I was playing, but I forget. So tough luck. Tough luck.
Yeah, he's been playing random PC games, really, pretty much.
So like every week with Noob.
Yeah,
like every week.
Like every time I log on, he's actually playing a game. It's something I've never heard of. Or
Red Orchestra 2. I was playing a little bit today.
I've heard of that game.
Steam Workshop.
I've heard of that game.
Mm-hmm. Steam Workshop does not help Red Orchestra 2 because it's already a game that no one plays because it was obsolete. But the funny thing about that game is when that beta came out, so everyone pre-orders it, right? So everyone gets like 40 hours in the beta. The game comes out. People generally have 1 hour played in the actual game. I'm just wondering what went wrong.
Like the
Arma 2 came out.
The pre-release no, it's like, not that. Hype for that game was so positive.
Right, but the thing is, it was so broken. Just broken. It was so broken. They had to reset the stats multiple times, take away people's weapons, and people just got fed up with it, I think. And they just dropped it. And that's the worst part, where there's like a really interesting game, but it's just broken, so people drop it. And there's
once you mean like Star Wars?
I can't say whether or not that's
Star Wars Battlefront was awesome.
I'm actually referring to the Old Republic.
I know, I was joking.
Okay,
like a good Star example. Of it,
awesome. Wait, like going back, Paradox going game. Back to this, are we going to see a Disney published Battlefront 3?
Oh God, no, I fucking hope so.
Probably not.
Fucking Mickey Mouse, Darth
John
Vader,
John Fiocchi is going to make Battlefront 3 a thing.
Yeah, let's lay all our hopes at that man's feet. That's what we should
do. Does this mean that we're going to now see Star Wars characters in the next Kingdom Hearts?
Maybe.
Now that I think about it, that could be interesting.
I was actually thinking about, like, I told my friend that and he was like, oh my God. But I'm like, well, wait, think about it this way. Like, don't think of like the standard Star Wars characters, you know. Think like if they were going to put
they're probably
going to
include
Jar Jar. It would be Clone Wars characters.
That's off Cartoon Network now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
they pull off to whatever Disney.
But on Disney's channel now.
Yeah, one of the Disney.
All right, speaking of, I'm also going to play The Sims and document my experience. That's
no, you're not. You're going to say you're doing that. And then, like, speaking everything else
games,
you do, you don't do it.
Speaking of Sims games, SimCity looks dope. SimCity looks dope.
God, I can't wait for the fucking game.
Let's go.
Oh, my God.
That trailer was hilarious. It was great.
Was that John Cleese?
No, actually, maybe. It was
it
a British
sounded like John
so
Cleese.
Probably John Cleese.
I want to say I've heard that before, so it probably was.
Yeah, I think I've heard that somewhere. But it was.
It might have even been the Bombcast, actually.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway.
All right.
What
have you been doing, Doran, since I'm the host?
What have you been doing?
Stop it.
I've been playing some Halo 4.
Oh, cool.
Right. That's a Halo game. Let's move on.
Oh, great. So what else have you been playing?
Wait, so were you the one who hadn't played the single player, or have you played the single player?
No, I have actually. I played some of it by myself, and then my wife and I also played some. We actually played more than I played by myself. The single player is fine. Like, I mean, as somebody who doesn't, like, I'm not super attached to Halo anyway, and I haven't played a Halo game since 3, so I don't know what the fuck happened in Reach or care. And
yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
It's prequel anyway, novels, isn't it?
I don't care about that anyway. Yeah. Like, it seems fine. The Promethians are an interesting enemy. I can see what they were talking about in the Bombcast, where they, like, introduce the main villain guy, and Master Chief clearly knows who he is, but you have no idea who the fuck he is.
Right.
But I don't care, because I'm just there to shoot shit.
Okay.
So, I guess for like, people who are real big fans of Halo, I could see them maybe taking issue with the campaign, but it's fine.
Yeah. Okay, I have one question about Halo, and hopefully you know what I mean by this. Is Halo 4 a Halo-ass Halo game?
Halo 4 is a Halo-ass Halo game.
Okay, like that's all I need to know.
The number one thing
Halo
4
is so
everywhere.
Much of a Halo-ass Halo game that in the multiplayer, so they have like a... They've done the one thing that, and they talk about this on Giant Bomb quite a bit. But they've done the one thing that Bungie said they would never do, and that is kind of the progression stuff. They basically just kind of stole Call of Duty's progression.
Yeah.
And so like there's weapon progression, and as you play through, you unlock through gaining levels the ability to start purchasing different weapons. And then you also earn currency when you level as well, and that's what you use to purchase those weapons.
Right.
So I've gotten to a point where I've been able to unlock some of the Promethean weapons now in multiplayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's such a Halo-ass Halo game. Fuck all that. Assault really? Rifle's all that matters.
Because the crazy thing is, oh really, assault like rifle. Halo. See, for me, it would be like battle rifle, and then
the BR.
A lot of people like DMR. I don't know. Like it.
I prefer the battle rifle to the DMR.
See, my thing is like mine is basically default. Like I like assault rifle Magnum because right. the Magnum has the zoom, mm-hmm. so it kind of fills the long range need that I require from it. Mm-hmm. Which basically I use it for. If there's a dude sniping people on my team, I'll just take some pot shots at him from far away right. and force him to stop sniping.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm very much an up close Halo yeah. player. I don't get yeah. to do a lot from far away.
That's where the assault rifle really shines, because you just have to keep your bead on him, and yeah. he's down. Like you will win that DPS race.
Well, no, see, that's the thing, though, is that I have had this timing ingrained in me from all the time that I played Halo 2 and Halo 3
right.
Multiplayer, and that's maybe why I don't switch from the assault rifle, because there is a certain amount of time that you need to be firing on a guy
mm-hmm.
to bring him low enough that a melee will kill him.
Yeah, and then that's pretty much it.
And that's all that matters.
Yep.
And so, literally, that's why my Halo game is so close, because I literally just do that. Like, that is my strategy for, like, every kill. Uh-huh. I'm fucking terrible at long range,
nice.
But you give me a short range, and I can kill a motherfucker or five.
See, I was surprised by Halo 3 that the Promethean battle rifle, the one with just three-shot burst and then zoom into one shot big, like one big shot.
In Halo 4?
Yeah, in Halo 4. That's like, sorry, did I say Halo 3? Anyway, I was surprised that they finally came up with a weapon that I was more interested in than the normal battle rifle. So I was like, yeah, sure. I might pick that game up at some point. But even then, like, I wouldn't be much of a multiplayer guy. I'd be a single player guy, straight up.
Yeah. Have you done any like the Spartan Ops stuff? Or?
I haven't yet. I'm going to, but I'd like to try to play through the campaign first.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask if it was similar to like the Call of Duty like co-op stuff. I have no idea how it's structured.
The way the John Bond guys have described it, like, it's very story light, and it's just kind of a general, like, super basic objectives, like, you know, kill all these dudes to progress to the next area and kill all those dudes.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like so much fun.
And there's, like, going to be 50 of them total, so I'm hoping maybe they expand on them later. Like, maybe that's just what the initial ones are.
Right.
And maybe it'll get more interesting as it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even if it doesn't, like, it's not like we're paying for it. That's something that's just, they're doing that as a part of the game, and that's right. cool.
Yeah. I was just curious.
The number one thing in that game in terms of multiplayer that I'm interested in is doing what the Giant Bomb guys did at the end of the TNT, which is just fucking make it UT 2004 all over again.
I wish that stuff was easier to do.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Wait, hold on. What did they do? I missed
it.
They went to one of the maps. They turned gravity down to low or some shit.
Like, as low as they could without zero.
I think it was like, yeah, I think 50%. It was like no shields. Yeah. Everybody had rockets only.
It was rockets and hammers. People had shields, but you'd die in one hit anyway. Direct hit with a rocket. And then you'd have, it was 3x jump, I think. And then
somebody wanted them to change the jump, but they didn't.
Right,
they realized
just had low grab.
That would have made it so
much better. It was essentially InstaJib UT 2004. It was the best. I was like, yes, that is exactly what I want to play.
What if they somehow managed to get like a Halo version of Facing Worlds?
Oh, dude. Well, you could do it because of Forge. Yeah.
No, but I mean, they didn't at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so,
man.
If there was like
if
a
somebody
mode
did that, I could
just
maybe
that.
See them revisiting that game for a TNT.
Oh, fuck, that would be so good.
Hell, I would just go over to a friend's house that has that game and play.
Yeah. But I don't think I could ever get back into U2004 itself, though, because the people online.
Let's play U2004.
Just,
I have it.
But people are so good at that game now. It's just, I couldn't even stand up if I actually go online with that. So.
No, I don't know. Like, I went when they did the most recent Quake TNT. I actually got in there, and I was actually doing pretty okay. Or no, it wasn't that. It was when PC Gaming Hub, when we all hopped into Quake Live.
Okay, right.
And I was actually doing pretty okay, and I had never played Quake before.
Okay.
So
I did okay in the Shoot Mania TNT. Does that count?
So, I mean, those are the kind of games, like, they're so, like, they're such Twitch shooters that, like, skill matters.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're not very good at the game, like, you can still get some pretty lucky shots and still generally have fun with it.
Yeah. That's what we like about Instagym. Like, Instagym is all about, well, it's Twitch when you get to the high, like, proper play. But at low level play, it's just whatever, fun. It's cool.
Just shoot rockets everywhere and hope you hit something.
Yeah.
I was just glad to find out that, like, I hadn't completely lost my ability to play a first-person shooter on a console. Right. Because I haven't played one with the controller since Halo 3.
You messaged me on Steam, you're just like, I still got it. I'm like, nice.
And then I know me and you talked, and I was just like, oh, it makes me angry at the world. Playing a shooter with a controller.
That's the thing. Like Halo is the one shooter that I will buy on a console and play and have fun with.
The only one, I don't know if it really counts, but I'll play Uncharted, but that's mostly because if I can't, like, you know, properly aim at a dude, I can always just run up to him and melee him.
Mm.
That's third person. But for me, that's different because, like, even third person shooters or third person anything on the PC, I will always use a controller for.
Yeah, well, the only thing I use mouse and keyboard for Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Dude. Mostly because Mass Effect is
absolutely. As well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sprint in a straight line and get undercover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
I've never used a controller on a PC first person shooter before.
First person shooter?
Or any PC game that's not a. I actually never use a controller in general outside of the consoles.
The games that you play are a bit different. I can maybe see why you haven't done that yet.
Mm.
Well, I mean, like, you're not going to use a controller to play Arma 2.
Or CS. No. Or anything else, really.
Yeah.
Sure. But, like, you could play CS. Fallout or Skyrim, I cannot use a controller.
Skyrim, it would work with a controller. It's just that when I play Skyrim, I play Magic, and you cannot fucking...
Yeah,
because it becomes a first-person shooter. It becomes a first-person shooter.
A friend of mine plays it with a controller on her PC, and she has no problems playing it. She enjoys it that way, but then again, she's also insane, and she plays with a trackball.
Oh, so. Right.
Oh, that's weird. I played
all the Assassin's Creed games on my PC with mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, think of it this way. She plays Guild Wars 2 with a trackball.
Assassin's Creed with mouse and keyboard is sacrilege.
It's actually apparently not too bad.
Yeah, but it's not. The original
was awful, but they improved it in the second one. I'll say that.
Well, the original all around was pretty bad from what I hear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, all right. So moving along. Other than Halo 4, I don't think I've played much this week.
Have you read a book?
I have not read a book. I haven't read a book.
You're not in the reading club anymore.
I'm not. I never was.
If I open up this drawer, I have a copy of A Feast for Crows as well as a copy of The Hobbit.
If I open up this drawer, oh God, never mind. I close the drawer.
I think it took Seneca a second to get that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead.
I shouldn't be surprised though.
Also Barack Obama, you owe me $20. Just calling him out there. Just calling him out.
I can't believe you bet. Anyway, let's not get into that. Let's not get into that.
Yeah.
Once you go black, you never go back.
Exactly.
If this is Australians only, I totally would.
Getting into news then, now we've gone past that dark... Oh, that's... So, Refer a Friend is coming to Guild Wars 2.
God. Oh no.
Oh man. Victorious. God. You won the day.
Oh man. Thank you for listening to the Lincoln Cast.
Yeah.
We're out.
Okay, so moving into news. Refer a Friend free trial is coming.
What's that about?
So November 12th, ArenaNet's gonna be implementing the Refer a Friend free trial. And it sounds really cool at first. But they're doing it because that's right before they're launching the Lost Shores.
Yeah.
Content update, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And the free trial is only from the 15th through the 18th.
Yeah, it's a short free trial. What I'm worried about.
To download and more specifically, for 2 days.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And more specifically, it's a one-time free trial.
And it's invite only.
Yeah, it's invite only, one-time free trial.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and it's 15 gigabyte download.
It's a really, really, really shitty free trial, but it's better than no free trial.
I think I worry about the economy. It is. Like I think they're worried about the economy. Like, having free trials to games actually significantly changes their economies. So I can see why they're being trepidatious, especially with how the economy is going nowadays. To open it up like that fully, So I'm just surprised that they're doing a short.
This could be this could just be an experiment on their end to see how it affects the economy in what one would assume would be a really active weekend for the existing player base.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's mostly just weird to me because like I guess I'm used to MMOs having a proper not only refer a friend but just a proper trial of the game because like it's the kind of game where. And I guess, again, this goes back to this doesn't have a subscription fee, so there's that whole thing.
But they're usually not at release, those trials.
Well, no.
They're this close to release.
A lot of times they're not at release. They should be. That's a whole different deal. Well, it's because there's so much investment that comes with an MMO. I mean, it's not like your standard FPS out there that you'll either like or not like. And
But you think about it. Like, you have an extra, couple million players at the start playing the trial, right? They disappear. What happens to the economy? Boom. Boom.
At the beginning, it doesn't matter. The economy will bounce back.
But like a mix.
I mean, that already happens anyway. That already happens anyway when the inevitable drop off happens. Yeah. So
but like, it's the, never the free to trial the rate of a bunch
it's just trial. An extended free trial is where the problem comes in. But a short free trial, it's fine. It's more like Noob's problem, I think, is the biggest of it. Like I understand how other people would want a longer free trial. And I'm with Shinborian saying that they'll probably just see how this one goes first. But the whole thing where you have to ask someone to download 16 gigs to try something out for 3 days or whatever, that's not going to fly. They should,
Especially in an age with download caps.
Yeah, exactly. And I was surprised that they weren't doing like a smaller download. Like if you have played the first Guild Wars, how it works is you download like a 10 meg or whatever downloadable. Executable. You launch that
and it downloads like 1 gigabyte.
Yeah, and it downloads 1 gig, and then you log into and it just downloads progressively as you go through to new areas and zones, and that's how it kind of works out. I don't think they're going to do that with this though. It sounds to me like they're just going to have the normal executable available to those people, which is kind of weird, especially since they've done it so effectively in the past. I don't know.
Well, I guess they could easily just cut out a big chunk of the content just for the trial, but I don't think them. Like
I don't know if a lot of people who are downloading the trial are really going to need to download all of the assets for Cursed Shore.
Yeah. Well, I was expecting it to just be a Cursed Shore like thing.
Okay, that works too then.
Yeah.
Just farming plinks all day. That's your weekend.
Yeah, totally. Or whatever the new map is. That was actually my expectation.
Lost Shore.
It would make sense if it was a Lost Shore thing because like. They say specifically, like, they want you to experience Guild Wars 2 and Lost Shores with your friends.
Yeah, so, if it's, like, a small executable that only allows the new player to check out Lost Shore, starts with Lost Shore and then forces them to download it. Sorry?
Does that mean Lost Shores for all levels? If they want new people to experience
it? Yeah, I think they said that everything will be scaled up. You'll be scaled up to 80.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, the Halloween stuff, right? Probably?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, the stuff for just this weekend is, I don't know about the news zone. I don't know if that's been confirmed.
That's happening this weekend, is it? That's crazy.
Well, next
week. Did I say this weekend?
Like the coming weekend. Next weekend. The coming weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Because this goes up on like Monday. So that interesting. I can't wait for that. Well, I can wait. But it's going to be fun.
Endless Dungeon. Well,
which one is it?
It'll be interesting to see how they handle a referral trial.
Like to me, I'm a weird case because when I think of what's going to be what my big news this week, it's Persona 4 coming out on the 20th. That's what I've been like really looking forward to.
What do you mean? That game's been out for years.
I'm going to play it again. It's going to be awesome.
That's still 2 weeks away though. Or a week and a half.
Yeah, but like, that's this week. Do you guys have any people you would give these trials to? Because
I know a couple
of people that I would actually give.
I might, but it's more so it comes back to that issue of will they be willing to download that giant file to come in and play it. Like, I have friends that are interested in the game that haven't bought it, but I don't know they're going to be interested enough to download 16 gigs.
Yeah. I guess I could give them my executable on like a hard drive and then give it to them.
Would still have to download all the other assets.
No, man, if you gave him his whole, like Guild Wars 2 folder.
Oh, okay, like including the
that isn't a solution that's particularly applicable to many people out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I think ArenaNet's catering this game to me, so I don't think give a shit, you know? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't give a shit. But then again, I don't actually have friends. They're imaginary.
I thought we were your friends.
Huh?
And we already played Guild Wars 2, so.
Yeah.
Wait, do we?
It's out, isn't it?
I haven't played that.
Oh shit!
Did I haven't played any of that game.
Trailer, that was nuts. It's like 28/8/2012.
Yep. So moving on.
no, so just quickly. Okay. Durin, because you kind of coming at this from the opposite perspective, where you're used to like extended free trials, right? Is that what you were? What was your argument that you were building up to before I brought that?
I will say I was at one point used to extended trial free trials, but it seems like that for whatever reason MMOs aren't doing that anymore. I know Star Wars kind of did something similar where they only offered a very limited trial to it as well. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, to me, that seems so odd for an MMO. There's so much of an investment from the player side coming into an MMO. And it's not the kind of game you can read the back of the box and just know, like, oh, this is the game for me. There's so much more to it. And so, like free trials are what get players into these games. A free trial is what got me to play WoW back in the day whenever I was playing Final Fantasy XI before that.
Right.
You know, if not – and I guess – It's either that free trial or the open beta period that some MMOs will do. And the fact that this game did not do an open beta, in fact, they did a very, very strict closed beta. I guess when it came around to them doing some sort of a free trial, I expected it to be maybe a little bit more open and a little bit more inviting to bringing players in.
So what do you think is this? Do you think that what do you think is implied by the fact that they're considering doing free trials going forward? Is there anything implied? Is this just like what MMOs end up doing?
I don't think anything is implied. I don't think this is like, oh god, do they think that, you know, are there not as many players playing now? Do they need more people in? Like, I don't think that's the case. I think it's more so they are launching a large content update, and MMOs always do some sort of a free trial. Okay. MMOs always do some sort of a free trial, and they also generally do some sort of a refer a friend. Mm-hmm. And Guild Wars 2, like ArenaNet's kind of experimenting, it seems like, with combining the two.
Yeah, and so as another like piece of supporting evidence, like when I look at Guild Wars 2, the easiest way for me to tell how successful the game is the in-game like gem economy specifically, because you can kind of tell by looking at that to see like how everything's going in terms of the overall player base. The fact that it went up to 50, what was it, silver per 100 gems order was for the Halloween weekend, but it didn't keep going up, it just kind of stayed at 50, means that everything's going pretty well at the moment. Because if it kept going up, because a increase in price there would indicate that would reduce how easy it is, obviously, to get gems. And the fact that people are still investing in-game time and therefore gold into gems to get that conversion and therefore drive that price continue like to stability, that's a good thing. It's a hard point. Yeah. It's a hard economic point to discuss. But yeah,
and even looking at it on more of a surface level, I mean, we're how far in now? How long has it been since they released?
2.5 months.
Almost 3 months.
So we are to a point now where you don't even have to look too hard in an MMO. Like, you stand in the main city and see what population is like, and or go to, you know, a leveling zone and see what population is like. And in Guild Wars 2, at least on Yak's Bend, it's still pretty damn healthy. Like,
yeah,
on weekends you'll still get an overflow in Lion's Arch. Weekdays maybe not as much, but you go to any zone and you'll still see people running around. It's easily the most healthy I've seen in MMO, you know, probably a month and a half on.
The crazy thing is you kind of see someone everywhere. Like, for me and Noob, jumped back into the game and we were in Ara. We were finally finishing off the story with us two, Laura, anyway. And there, so, there are people running around Ara, which is kind of cool. After that, I ran over to some of like the middling areas, so like the level 30 to 40 zones and stuff. And people still running around there. Like, straight, for example, Harathi Hinterlands still had people running around those big dynamic events there, and that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, like, I was in Timberland Falls earlier, or Timberline Falls, however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And I was getting a skill point there, and me and, like, two other people fought our way up through all the mobs up to the skill point, who I just sort of happened to wander across.
Yeah. So it's still going pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, like as somebody who has played a lot of MMOs, the only one that I've seen you know, consistently have people not only just, you know, chilling in the city, but like you said, kind of around in zones while you're doing stuff, has been WoW. Like, I have not played another MMO that was that
really populated. I actually didn't know that. I thought this was relatively standard.
No, because generally this far in, especially once you've hit the 2-month mark, this far in, that's when you'll really see like the large drop off of people.
Yeah. Which
you did see. The thing is, I feel like it's different here because there's no like free month included with buying. There's no
right. But more so, like when I say there's a huge drop off, where you'll notice it the most is in the leveling zones.
Yeah.
So you'll go and you'll level another character and you won't fucking see anybody.
And
because
extent,
the people
like,
who are still playing are mostly all max level at this point and they're working on their progression stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, right? Because to some extent, a lot of people are going back and doing stuff because of world completion, legendary farming, that kind of stuff. And that's all supported by the whole like level scaling thing. Like I was running around throughout the Interlands and having fun, even though I'm level 80.
And even beyond that, they also, you know, they're making new characters, which shows an investment in the game that I don't tend to see as much in other MMOs.
Yeah. Like Shinboy is on like almost full level and his max level is alt, right? You're level like 50.
Yeah, my L is 63 now.
Yeah, crazy.
And I was talking to a friend of mine before. I was helping him like finally finalize the look on his Mesmer. So he got a Peacemaker Greatsword and like most of the armor set that you had, Durin, on your Ellie. And that character is like level 11.
Whoa. Jesus.
So.
Whoa.
Well, I have a full set of I guess you'd call them level 80 weapons on my on my Ellie. I have 4 down transmuted weapons on my Ellie.
Yeah. So twinking, full effect.
Jeez.
Twinking, yep. Twinking is here.
Yep.
And again, like those are the things that you see in healthy MMOs, not so much in ones that are, you know, maybe hemorrhaging my player base.
That's good to see. But again, it's still a new
I want to go to pre-searing Ascalon right now in the original Guild Wars and see how many people are running around.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Don't
oh,
you? Man. Like, I'm wondering.
I wonder, no, genuinely. I think a better idea would be how many districts are there in Kamadon?
Just
I'd say no. Just one. None. Or just one.
Just one. I would say there's at least 2.
I doubt it.
I was surprised when Cynic and I went back pre-Guild Wars 2 launch and played that we actually, like, in the yeah, that was the pre-searing, right? Where we had to face against the other people.
Yeah.
There were other dudes that we had to fight.
Yeah.
Totally. Like I was surprised that there were actually other people there. Yeah.
PvP arena when you go out of pre?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I haven't encountered that PvP arena in forever because there's never anyone to fight.
There was totally people to fight. We totally fought people.
Jesus.
We were surprised.
And we beat them and then we felt so bad because we knew they were gonna sit there forever.
Exactly. Because it's like, oh, oh man. Anyway, but yeah, that's
should have made new characters and just lost to them.
Speaking of Guild Wars 1, the Guild Wars 1 names that were being held have been released now.
High quality segue.
That was good. That was actually legitimately good. Guild Wars 1 names have been okay. So the ones that are probably released back to the public are Cloud Strife. What was it? Darth Vader. Vader is probably available now.
Blue Fire. Sex lady.
I was gonna go back and grab all like my old guild leader's name and everything because I know that's not taken and just like
Lord Kelvin.
All these guys. Assuming that those people, assuming those people didn't transition to Guild Wars 2. Like a bunch of people didn't transition to Guild Wars 2. And I assume many of those people had good names. So I bet there are a bunch of like
they probably
obscure
just
ones.
Died.
God, does this mean we're gonna start seeing all the Sephiroths again?
Oh, dude! Sephiroth 000XXX Sephiroth. Yes!
Sephiroth X Sephiroth X.
That would be awesome. I want that so bad.
I saw my new favorite name today in Lion's Arch. Kung Fu Treachery. Just
because that's a
I was thinking
name.
To myself.
That's a good
I wonder
name.
What Kung Fu Treachery is. It sounds like a bad Hong Kong 70s action movie.
Damn straight. You mean good Hong Kong 70s action movie?
Oh, of course.
Movie. Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah, exactly. Like John Woo.
I have a bunch of names to you from the original Guild Wars that I never ended up getting to and I probably never will. So, meh. And they're not like good names that people would actually try to take. It would be
like Kung Fu Treachery.
The Bra or Broham Deuterino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Size.
Oh, and Fecal Matter and Horse Meat Pastries. Those were the characters I didn't take back.
Well done. Well done.
I'm sad you didn't bring Fecal Matter back in.
Yeah.
I really wanted to get Horse
You'll
Meat
be remembered.
Pastries,
and I'm way more happy with like Guild Wars 2 names. Like Human Warrior is my main, and then I've got Evil Doer.
I have to bring it to you, Cynic. Human Warrior is a terrible name.
Human Warrior is the best name. I love it.
Human Warrior is a terrible name.
I love it. And Evil Doer is
has been holding that in since before launch, by the way.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't have the heart to tell him that Human Warrior is a fucking terrible name.
I fucking love it. I love it. But yeah,
it's not as good as the protagonist.
It is not as good as the protagonist.
Oh no, protagonist is next level shit. Name. Yeah, that's a legitimately awesome name.
And I've got both of them, the main character too. Why would I want horse meat pastries when I'm exactly. the protagonist? I don't know, because I actually do want horse meat pastries back.
The name or actual?
Actually, it's probably not taken.
No, he wants actual horse meat
probably
pastries.
Probably not taken, okay. to be honest.
They're delicious. Yeah.
No one would, until someone listening here creates a character called horse meat pastries.
Okay, you gotta claim it before this podcast goes
up. You gotta get on there immediately. Get on that shit.
Okay, then I guess I delete the Vault Dweller, but I like the Vault Dweller. Cause I like
Vault Hunter?
I guess I'd just have to buy gems with money. That's what's gonna happen.
Oh shit! What was my beta name? What was my name in the beta? It was awesome.
It was
Police.
Frack the Police. I might remake that guy as well. That was a good name.
I'm gonna take it right now.
You're not gonna make him as another warrior, are you?
No, probably not.
You're not gonna be one of those people.
No, not. I have a warrior, guardian, and mesmer at the moment.
I have 5 human guardians.
I'll just make him as an Ellie. Play an Ellie anyway. They're good.
You should. Ellie's are really fun.
There's a bunch of Ellie's in the guild there.
Like, did you guys finalize your characters yet? Like, all of them?
I have 5.
No.
Yes, I have 7.
Wow.
You have 7?
I'm going to have a level 80
I have 7
eventually.
Because I went and bought a character slot, and it gave me a free one.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So,
if I had known that, I would have bought one too.
So, it's funny because actually, I bought the character slot because I wanted to make a thief. And then when it gave me the extra one, I was like, well, I figure I'd go ahead and fill it up now before they decide to take it away or something. So I made a Necro, and I've just been playing the Necro instead because Necros are fucking badass.
Necros are pretty great. Cool.
Right. At this point, I have a Mesmer, a
Necros
Ranger,
are great.
Timbo's a hater.
I don't like Necros. Well, you have to think. I think of everything from a dungeon perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
And condition builds and dungeons.
Well, you can do a non-conditioned Necro.
Yeah, it just sucks.
Minion Necro.
Necro's good in PvP, though. So
yeah,
that could be my PvP.
They're really tanky in PvP.
They're strong in PvP. Yeah.
All right, so there's not much more we can really say about Guild Wars 1 names released. Go get them, I guess.
Cloud Strife. I think we'll release like the end of, what is it called? The Head Start Access. I remember them saying
they should have released a list of all the names that were released just so we could laugh at them.
Man,
I would recognize a bunch of names on that list.
I wish there were you could do inner caps because I'm really sitting here considering.
Oh no,
Efrog.
People would abuse that. People just alternate letters just because they can.
I would love it.
I'm glad they don't allow that, and I'm glad they don't allow special characters.
Oh, I love both.
Why would you want a question mark or like? An ampersand
upside down name? Question mark because you're real.
Oh, hold on, if you could like.
El fuego.
No, just make it en fuego, like a question with the upside down one in the middle. Yeah,
exactly.
I'll just name my character Porqué. That would be my name.
Oh man, I want my Ellie to be named El Fuego. God damn it.
See?
But a question, like El Fuego?
Well, no, I can still do El Fuego, but now I genuinely want a fucking Ellie named El Fuego. Maybe I'll fuck it. I'm deleting my warrior and I'm making a warrior named El Fuego. What's happening?
This makes me
want to do a guardian just because they light people on fire.
No, because I like my guardian.
Like characters, because that's just like more later that I'm going to get my birthday present when those things roll around.
Remember, Shinboy, my guardian's name is Ian of the Guard. He is never going anywhere.
Oh, God damn it.
What would you do if I dropped $10 on a character slot and stole the name El Fuego?
I would find out where you live.
You know where I live.
You already know where
exactly where.
Right
oh, okay.
I would find out exactly where you live because I know Noob has that information.
Mm-hmm. Noob probably does have the. Noob probably has all the information. God damn it!
You know when everyone came on the Plug DJ show?
Noob is actually
today?
The Shadow Broker.
Now you have all their names. Now you have all their names. You are the fucking.
Noob being the Shadow Broker is a scary proposition.
I found Albino Jerk on Facebook, and then I found.
Everybody listening, this is why you don't. Friend or like or whatever the Facebook account.
Yeah, do not touch the LinkedIn Facebook page.
Noob has all of your information.
All of it. Why would you want that?
even if it's not on your Facebook, he still has it.
I look at all the people following the Twitter page and then I cross-reference their Twitter pages.
Oh, Jesus.
And then I have this text file, Lincoln Cast Internet Friends.
And then he just looks at your profile picture and just CSI style just goes, enhance.
And then I pull down my pants.
Any other news this pants. Week? Was there anything else? I don't remember.
There was one more thing we were going to talk about, and that was the post recently showed up on Guild Wars 2 Guru about the recent market shifts in Guild Wars or Guild Wars 2.
Okay.
So there were a couple things that they addressed. One of them was
that Legendary's post.
Yeah.
I was on the official forums too.
Okay, that's probably where this pulled it from. So they've recently gone through and they've banned a bunch of bots from the game. Finally. And in doing so, it's kind of caused a large shift in the market.
The first time I saw a bot was the most just the weirdest thing, because that. Like,
I hadn't seen one yet.
Because I was running around.
I see them every so often.
Frostfell Gorge, I think it was.
Frostgorge Sound.
That's the one.
Frostfell Gorge.
Frostgorge Sound. And I was just running around. I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I think it was just getting all the waypoints. And there was like this blob in the distance. And I walked towards it. And then I was just stood there confused, because it was like this ever shifting mass of like multiple characters. Standing naked. On the same like point, and just
were
like
naked?
Firing different directions, like all their projectiles. I was like, "What the fuck?" And I walked up to it, and I looked closer, and it's like, "Yeah, there's multiple char and like an Asura, and it's just this weird amorphous mass of characters." And apparently that's a bot. And I was like, "Holy shit, that's the weirdest thing." It was like a really interesting in-game effect, seeing that many things stacked on top of one another.
That many juvenile bear brown bears.
Did you just
bears.
See gloves of like 15 people named Xing Yao Fang and stuff like that. It was
so crazy because when you
rangers.
When you moused over it, like all the names just formed like this unreadable clump. It was just like so many
things. It's great when you go to report them and you'll get their profile names. It's like ASDF.9462.
Sigh. But yeah, that's the one thing I liked about bots, was just how crazy that was. But bots are terrible.
So
brown bears.
So the banning of the bots has caused, you know, like I said, it's kind of some pretty large waves in the market, and prices have gone, you know, dramatically up on a lot of in-game items.
Ectos are still the same. Some of them are.
Ectos have gone way up.
No, that's 19 last time I checked.
Yeah, but they were like at 13.
Oh, were they? Okay, that's crazy. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So they're back up to pre. So that's the crazy thing. I left Guild Wars 2.
Back up to what they should be.
People were complaining that
prices went up. Exactly. And so basically, ArenaNet came out and said, like, they addressed it. They're like, look, we know prices have gone up. It's because we've been banning all of these bots. The prices are now more in line with what they should be. And the prices will actually, you know, start to go down when more players are entering the market and less bots.
Mm-hmm.
Or not less bots, but the bots have been removed. And so now there's less players that are in the market, and therefore the market prices have gone up. Just, you know, basic supply and demand.
Yeah.
But as more players then, you know, enter the market as well, those prices will start to go down and it'll get more reasonable.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, I left Guild Wars 2 for a while because of work, and then I came back and prices were the same. And in the interim is when the botting got crazy and they was killed off again. So, like, it's as if people have forgotten that only like a month ago these were the prices. So it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Get over yourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that they addressed was a lot of feedback they were getting that legendaries were becoming unreachable.
Can I just come out and say that those people who said that, pussies.
Pussies. Absolute pussies. Because some people in our guild are like a third of the way there, or like a quarter of the way
there. I'm not a third of the way there. I have like four different pieces.
Right.
That's about it.
Okay.
Because
what it comes down to with the people that are thinking that those are becoming unreachable is in regards to the precursors themselves.
Right.
Which is fair.
Yeah. So
you're talking about like the actual like weapon that you have to use in the Mystic Forge to make.
Yeah, like Dusk or Dawn. Spark, Zap, which I think is really the ones that are.
Yeah.
I don't remember. That's all the names I know off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's something that they've been watching, and they said that they will see changes addressing that in the next build. So a lot of people are seeing this as legendaries are going to become easier to get. That's not necessarily the case. It's more so that they're going to address something in there that's going to make the precursors themselves easier to get. But I imagine this probably had something to do with the bots as well, right?
Probably.
How so?
Like, what's the process of getting a precursor? Like, you have to forge it with
stuff. You chuck them into the Mystic Forge, like, say for a great sword, you chuck four great swords, rare or exotic, I think of 74 or 75 or higher, mm-hmm. in, and get lucky.
And weren't people just crafting those to get that going?
Yeah.
Like that and the botting was making the crafting components really, really fucking cheap. So
I guess.
It'll totally affect it. Yeah.
So yeah, I imagine, you know, it's something they're gonna address. Likely it was something that was as a result of the wave of bots they've removed from the game. And it will get better. Legendaries will become easier to get, but at the same time, like, they're becoming easier to get in terms of you know, the prices on that stuff going down. But I don't think that they're gonna actually make legendaries easier to get.
No, in one of the posts, legendaries are. One of the posts, the dev said like something along the lines of like, "Rest assured, legendaries will still be legendary," or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Which hopefully that's true.
If they change the recipes to like so you don't need some parts, I'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do it, do it.
The only thing I could see them doing, aside from the precursors, is increasing the success rate on the Mystic Clover recipe. Because that you have like a 30% chance of getting a clover, and 70% of getting other assorted things like Ectos or something.
They could just fucking take the RNG. I hate RNG. That's just a baseline thing for me.
But it's the gift of fortune.
I know.
It's kind of a necessary component for that.
Whatever, because you can get zero, right? Like
nothing. At least one. You never get nothing.
You never get nothing, but you can get no clovers.
And let's remember here too, though, is the reason why this is okay is this is all optional shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like, none of this is going to make you a better player.
You need such a weird number. You need 77, which is such a strange number.
should need 777, clearly.
Well, let me do the math on this.
What was I going to say? Yeah, because, for example, I just got a bunch of endgame gear. I'm not fully kitted out, but I'm almost there. And I'm essentially stat maxed on my weapon, armor, and none of my
shit. I figured it out, you guys. According to the percentages that people have been running, if you do it 250 times, which is like a stack of everything, you should get 77.
That's cute.
Or thereabouts.
All right.
That's pretty good.
It said it's around 30%, so I just did 77 divided by 0.3, and it gave me 256 and change.
Yeah. So that's pretty good.
What is that for exactly?
Mystic Clovers is born of the components of the Gift of Fortune, which is one of the main four things you need.
Have you got that yet?
No, hell no.
All right.
I have the world completion one, the AC one, and the 200 skill point one.
So how many people that have legendaries do you think actually legitimately got them? I guess I shouldn't say legitimately. How many of them do you think got them through actually doing the work in game, and how many do you think just kind of bought their way to them?
How many did the work in game? None. Because I've talked to, like, just via PM, maybe five or six people who have legendaries. And every single one of them said that guild members or friends or someone helped them with the money.
Okay. Right.
See, that's what I was wondering. Like when you were describing like how many times you would have to do that just to get the necessary 77. I'm thinking like this game hasn't been out that long. How in the hell would one person have had the time to do that?
It's like the first to 80 thing. Are from group efforts to make one of the items.
Yeah.
Like one guy said he got most of it by playing 14 hours a day every day for like 2 weeks. Right. But with like the last 50 gold or 100 gold or something he got from guildies.
There you go.
Which is still a lot.
Oh, speaking of which, we should probably thank the guys in Lincoln Forest for helping Thorps get his
back on. Yeah, absolutely.
He finally got his commander thing and we're working on our second commander now, which is cool. I like that. It's pretty awesome.
You guys should get me a commander.
No.
And who's the second commander we're working on?
I've forgotten his name.
Moonlit.
Yeah, Moonlit.
Moonlit?
Yeah.
Yeah, Moonlit.
You guys should get me a commander because I don't know shit about WoW, but I won't take no shit from nobody.
Indeed.
You know, I would be all for it if it weren't for the fact that I don't know shit about WoW, so don't give me a commander.
Yeah.
I'll
follow the commander.
The only reason I would want a commander is someone's like, yo, bomb people, go here. I'd be like, no, fuck you. We do what we want.
Okay, in that case, buy me a commander. I want it now.
Only 100 gold.
Yeah.
That's only like, what? That's all. It's a lot of money. It's like 80. That's like $200, right? Some crazy thing like that.
They should change the requirements for that.
What?
There's too many commanders. There's too many commanders. Make it more difficult to get.
That's the thing about the commander thing is that it's going to be to a point where like everybody eventually will be a commander.
Yep, which is why they should make it like either badges of honor plus money or something, because you at least need to do worldly world to get that.
I agree. Honor should be part of it.
Badges of honor should definitely be a requirement.
I don't like how the commanders are shown on the PvE screen. It's so annoying. I don't care. Fuck off.
That is kind of weird.
I've seen a few people that always wear their commander things in LA, yet I've seen them in World View World and they don't have them on. It's like they just got them because they had the money.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if that's the case, if they're turning it off when they go to WubWub, then, you know, whatever, good on them. Like, they know they're not trying to scam anybody.
There's 20 commanders on a server. If you want a commander, you have to buy it off another one.
No, because then the problem you have with that is then like a player stops playing the game and they were a commander and now that commander slot is just lost.
Or if you're inactive for a certain amount of time, you have to it becomes open again and you have to pay a certain fee to get it back when you come back.
Or one commander per X amount of people in your guild or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
They need to limit it.
Yeah, there does need to be some sort of a hard limit on
because Foo has like I said, 15 commanders.
Yeah, because like I said, eventually it's going to get to a point where like everybody that's running around is going to be commander, and that's not going to help anybody.
No, I don't think it's
super commander.
There's going to be a lot of commanders. No one's is never going to be like even more than 25% of people with commanders.
Still, even like 5% is way too much.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point of it is to see it from far away and know that that's where you need to be going. And when you're seeing them all over the map running in all different directions, that's not good for anybody.
I agree. Which is why I should be the only one in the entire game.
Well, no. You and Thurb. Thurb does an awesome job with it.
Okay, so. Yeah, me and Thurb. Only two. I'll switch to a different server so we can face off against each other.
Thurb would win. Mine isn't.
Oh, yeah, he would.
Yep.
I have no doubts. But you know what? My people would be more inspired.
Inspired by your dubstep?
It's terrible music.
Dubstep and speed metal dubstep. And they would be pumped up, but they would just get slaughtered.
That would be a good demoralizing effect on your troops, Shinboy.
But he would have 1 million troops.
He's such a hater.
I would have 1 million troops.
God damn it, you need
to. But they'd be like 1 million Iraqi troops or something.
All right, so that pretty much ends the new stuff. We really pretty much don't have anything else to talk about on the show other than karaoke night last night.
Oh God.
Amazing.
Jesus Christ. Amazing. This is one of the coolest things Licking Force has ever done, I have to say.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
So if you want a reason why you need to join our guild, just go to twitch.tv/Durin and check out the karaoke video and watch our TA Explorer run and how amazing it all was. And how Journey brought us to the end.
The most
Journey and Bon Jovi.
Journey and Bon Jovi. Well, and Meatloaf. Right.
Yeah.
Meatloaf. Yes. Chris Sarin's inspired Meatloaf solo.
Dude, he fucking rocked that song and for the whole song. Jesus Christ. That was
That's not a short song either.
Yeah.
That was like 11 minutes.
Jesus, man. That was crazy. Yeah.
But so yeah. I guess for context, we decided last
we should probably
night to
say
run.
What this is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We decided last night to run some TA Explorable, and kind of at the last minute, Shinboy decided he was going to set up a jukebox.
Well, it wasn't just that; it was like I was going to have power metal playing, Chrisarian was going to have power metal playing, and then you were going to have power metal playing. So I'm like, instead of everyone listening to their own stuff, I'm going to bring my jukebox on, and we'll all listen to it.
Yep. But then it went in a good direction. Like, it started off in a bad place. Like, you know, these people are jerks.
He started in a great place because he started off with Journey.
I mean, like.
Because, like, I was like, I have this power metal playlist sitting here, but I'm going to wait till the run starts. In the meantime, I'm just going to go through my music and see what I feel
so
like.
So by chance, it went well.
Yeah. By chance, it went well because he played Journey and.
And he didn't play power metal.
Revan just belted it out.
Yeah. And Revan just started singing.
Don't hate on power metal, you two.
And everything just went uphill from, like, Revan was a star at the start, and then it just became awesome. Like, everything just became awesome.
So it eventually became five dudes and Mumble singing along to Meatloaf.
And others. Like, other people just randomly joined the channel, and it was rather spectacular. The best part about it all is that it's all archived on Durin's stream. You can, because Jesus.
Will it still be up by the time this podcast goes up?
Yeah.
I saved it forever, so it's not going anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Cynic was saying some sort of nonsense like
videos do disappear.
If I forget to, then it goes away within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I made sure as soon as we were done that night, I went on there and immediately saved it to ensure that never got lost.
The way it starts is fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, so like I didn't start that video when we actually originally started. But it was about 5 minutes after. So there's
we were all doing it and then you were like, oh man, I should be streaming this, and I was just like, well, why don't you?
So yeah, if you need a reason to join our guild, that is pretty much it. Tonight, actually, after we are done with recording, it's going to be dubstep night on Mumble.
I downloaded a UKF album with like a mix of all different artists, and it
ends. Can we ban them? Like, the last track into a channel cynic. Like,
the last track is a 62-minute.
Like, they can't bring the jukebox out. Right.
So okay, before I forget, I cannot end this without saying that how the night actually ended was probably the best. The song we ended on was.
I don't think you should ruin it, but you should say it was spectacular. Okay. Apparently.
Well, yeah, it was pretty much the best way we could possibly end it. And then once the singing was over, Shinboy enabled the mumble rule of no singing and kicked everybody.
Yep. I was just like, mumble law must be enforced. Kick. No singing on mumble.
Yeah. It was a good, this is going to be a thing going forward. Like,
is it?
Oh, absolutely. This is not
karaoke?
A one-off.
Yeah, definitely.
I realized not after last night. Was it Subs who reminded me or Insane Shadow Boy? One of those two. We were talking like well into the night on mumble till like maybe 4:35 in the morning.
Yep.
And I still had my jukebox on just playing random music. Mm-hmm. And one of them mentioned to me, was like, you didn't play any Queen. And I was like, oh shit. I did.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So clearly,
to be honest, like nothing's more annoying than people singing on mumble. I can say that. As a person who never sings on mumble, it's
also, so maybe you don't come on to mumble on a Friday night.
Well, we did this in our own channel.
Be a thing?
Like, it was our own channel. So like, haters can, like, the Wolf of guys were still like hardcore wolfing in their own like main
channel.
Yeah,
those guys.
Yeah, those jerks.
The Dungeoneers probably have the real
probably
fun.
Should also say, I believe it was Crusarian, the one who had his magnificent meatloaf solo, who was pretty wasted by that point in the night.
Reyos is pretty hammered too.
Was it Reyos?
Oh,
which
man.
One of them? Which one of them was two wine bottles in?
That was Crusarian, but Reyos, okay. The one every 5 minutes is like, let me go grab another beer. And he was into some of those Bon Jovi songs.
Bon Jovi, again, like I have like a deep, dark love for Bon Jovi, and he totally repped hard that entire time.
I'm proud that we are from the same town.
Yeah.
Fun fact, everyone in high school thought he was gay.
Really? Well, I'm not particularly surprised looking at
him. Because he kept his hair in perfect shape and wore clogs every day.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Inside Baseball, Bon Jovi edition.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess that's a podcast then. We're going to do plugs. We'll start with Cynic.
Oh, yeah. We're doing the Scotchcast probably again, maybe.
Podcast is all right. The name is not.
Yeah, we might change up the name.
It reminds me of that episode where Drink Durin.
I don't know if we can change the name now. We might have to change the name later.
Drink because he's an alcoholic. But hey,
yeah, I think we're gonna have to. Yeah, I think we're gonna have to change the name. I just don't know what to yet.
Yeah, not yet. So we're gonna stick with Scotchcast for now until we find something.
Giant Bombcast.
Yeah,
like Shitcast.
Giant Bombcast. So it's a.
I did put forward the motion to maybe name it the What's Hitting Cast.
I don't like that name. The What's Hitting Cast.
So, you know, yeah, the
well, Durin, explain what it was. Yeah.
So basically, the whole point of the podcast is basically it's a podcast that we basically do while waiting the Bombcast to show up. And so I thought about naming it after the purposely misspelled waiting room Bombcast thread.
Oh, okay. Yes, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've thrown that one out there. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if anybody has any better ideas, you know, send them to our email or something.
But yeah, like, so essentially it is, if you, for some reason, like the first half of the Linkin Cast where you talk about off-topic shit, there is no off-topic on the Scotchcast because everything's topical. We just talk about whatever the fuck we want to for... What, like up to 3 hours? I think the last one was.
Yeah, I think that last one was like
the
almost
first
3 hours.
Episode,
the last one. You mean the only one?
The first episode was 2 minutes and 55. No, 2 hours, 55 minutes. Like pretty much
and
just
probably
under
the first
3 hours.
Hour and 45 of that was Planetside 2 and Natural Selection 2.
Yeah, exactly. So if you like that kind of bullshit, that's what we do there. And that'll be at least for now on the same RSS as the Linky Cast. So I have to apologize to people who don't want that kind of bullshit in there. In the iPods, but hey, we have to pay if we want another RSS, at least for now. So we're going to be like sounding it out. So we have some fun guests lined up. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we're still feeling it out right now. So that's part of the reason why it's still going on that same RSS. We don't want to commit to something else if fucking nobody listens to it. And then we just kind of abandon it anyway.
Yep.
Like I said, we have some interesting guests lined up for future episodes.
Let's hope they show up. I'm going to say, hopefully they show, and then if it does, it's awesome. I'm not gonna say who it is.
We'll find out until we have some more like exact, like, you know, a little bit more concrete.
That's Kessler, isn't it?
There are people who have been interns. Maybe. Maybe. But we'll see.
For what site?
We'll see. There used to be this group of websites called Whiskey Media. I'm not sure if you've heard of them, but yeah.
No, they were around
for a while. They're kind of like, you know, went the way of the dodo, but there are people who really like that site for some reason. And yeah,
it's a little bit immature and stupid, so I don't follow that shit.
Did Whiskey Media actually ever officially have like its own site?
It was just a site that linked to the other sites.
Oh yeah,
it was like a business site. It was a business site.
There was some blogging stuff on there too. I know like Dave had a couple blog posts that were on there.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. But yeah, no, so that's the Scotchcast. Yeah. So you'll see it on this RSS. You don't have to change RSS feeds, at least at the moment. We will let you know if things are happening there.
All right. Any other plugs?
No, I'm good.
I have plugs.
I'm it from Cynic.
No, yeah. That's pretty much it, at least for now. I think I'm only doing two podcasts a week. I don't know. Probably. Oh! I invite the people out there, any listeners who are interested in a Noobarama anime cast special, to pester Noobarama to do it. Because I'm ready to produce it, like I do this and the Scotch cast.
Would you produce our spoiler cast? That's what our cast.
Yeah, I'll totally.
Speculation cast?
Yeah, I'll totally produce that as well.
So coming down the pipe, possibly, probably, and it will.
We got to do that speculation cast.
It's a speculation cast on future expansions and downloadable content with me and Shinboy and Cynic and some other people.
Yeah, and next week is probably going to be a spoiler cast for the end of Guild Wars 2. Which is going to be at least me and Noob and whoever else we can rope.
Talking about the greatest cutscene in the history of video games.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
The greatest.
Geez. And the best final mission in any video game ever, apparently. Jesus.
Actually kind of like Final Mission, except for the very end. Anyway,
so so that's coming down the pipe. Like, I'm now actively recruiting for thigh-crushingly adorable Tag DFC and the Workers' Party of Tyria, DPRT, because I got bored one night and I made a bunch of guilds. Admission forms are in. So for Workers' Party of Tyria, you need to send a resume and a cover letter. And the other, you need to fill out a multifaceted test regarding your flat-chestedness and a couple of, you know, questions, maybe your background, your political affiliations, etc. It's nothing serious, and that's about it. Actively recruiting.
Scarily enough, he already has one person who at least filled out the application form.
Oh, God. No, he hasn't filled out the application.
Wait, the application is real? Wait, hold on. Wait, what? You can actually fill out the application?
I didn't realize the application was real. I thought you were bullshitting all of that.
No, I wrote it.
God damn it.
Oh, man. That makes it 10 times better.
It's a background check and a quiz on, you know, like, just
values.
Did you make it on some really shady survey site?
No, I'm pretty sure he just PMs you the list of questions. That's how shady it is.
Oh, that's even better.
Facebook. Yeah, it's way better.
You message me with like your Guild Wars name, and I message you back on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it goes, at least for now.
Oh, God, hey, it's just going real bad.
Recruiting.
Just dark.
Shinboy, anything?
Not really. I have my site, but I haven't written anything on it in weeks because...
Plug and Play Gaming?
Yeah, there are like no games that I've... Like no new games anyway that I've been bothering to review because I haven't really been playing any of them. And this is not video game news season, so...
Yeah.
This is just like, oh, everything's releasing.
Except there's one thing that I wrote. If you, for some strange reason, enjoy my writing style, one of the guys that I run Plug and Play Gaming with, he has like a site where he talks about metal music, and I wrote a review over there. That is metalarmory.com. It's for the new Winter Sun album. It's pretty good. You should listen to it. That's about it.
Fucking metal. I don't mind metal music. I just don't.
Well, I don't like... See, I don't take it seriously. That's the thing. I'm not just like, oh my God, metal is the fucking end-all, be-all of music. I like it because it's dumb.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That's a valid reason to appreciate something.
That's the first time I've heard that, so that's cool.
It's twofold. It's like I like it because it's dumb, yet also a lot of the music is legitimately well done and put together.
But at least you can admit it's dumb.
Oh yeah, it is so dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The only thing I'll plug is my Twitch channel, and only because glorious things like the karaoke night happen on there randomly occasionally.
Oh, God. You need to check that out. It is
so go check
so
that
embarrassing.
Out. twitch.tv/Durin. I would probably just recommend go ahead and subscribe to it if you like things like that karaoke night, mm-hmm. because they do just kind of randomly happen.
without like our Facebook notice. Page. Yeah.
So when they happen, if you are subscribed to the channel, you'll get an email letting you know that we are live doing our crazy shenanigans. Mm-hmm. It won't always be like that, though. I will sometimes be streaming other games or just kind of streaming our explorable runs, even when we're not singing music.
Yeah.
So there's that. Like I said, it's twitch.tv/Durin. That's pretty much it for plugs then.
No, it's not. So facebook.com/thelinkingcast.
Oh, God.
Like almost got us out of here. Almost. God damn it.
Edit it out in post.
No editing. There's no editing. The Linking Cast.
No.
Not to make an exception.
Can be fucked.
That is episode 28.
Otherwise, we'd have an arena net person here if we did do that.
That would require us not having Noob on the podcast, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's easier than editing. That is episode 28.
That's mean. You guys are mean.
Everybody for listening.
I'm signing off right now because you guys are mean.
Noob Rabbit doesn't have friends.
We're his friends.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.